sermon podcasts come to you from Christ Church Cathedral in the Anglican Diocese of Fredericton in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. This is a version of a sermon delivered by the Dean of Fredericton, Jeffrey Hall, on Good Friday, March 29th, 2024, entitled, It Is Finished. Listen to podcasts by visiting the Watch and Listen tab on our website at christchurchcathedral.com. Search Christ Church Cathedral Fredericton podcasts on the web, or find us listed on iTunes, Spotify, Google, TuneIn Radio, or Podcatcher podcasts. Subscribe using your favorite podcatcher.
It's all done. It is finished. This word, the sixth word, very naturally, I think, begs the question, what is it? It's all done. It is finished. What is it that's finished? As we might imagine, that question has a long, long history of consideration since the very early days of Christianity. From the early church fathers down through the centuries, through the Reformation, and to the present day. It is finished has been a hot topic of conversation. And perhaps rightly so, since what happened on the first Good Friday at Golgotha has enormous implications for Christian faith and life. How we understand the life and death of Jesus makes a huge difference. Some would argue it lays the very foundation for Christian faith and life. It is finished. According to the Gospel of John, this was the last of the verbal communications from the cross. And John says, with it he breathed his last breath. The other gospel writers also relate information about words from the cross, of course. John's account shouldn't surprise us, since John's unique way of proclaiming the gospel has a reputation for being the more heady, theological account among them. The synoptic gospels let the reader kind of gradually discover that this Son of Man, Son of God, is the incarnate one. While John states it in no uncertain terms in the very first few verses of his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, he says, and the Word was God. It is finished. It's all done. What is it? And even more important, how was it finished? Well, some would maintain that This is a statement of Christ's surrender to the unbreakable forces of the world. Some would say that what Jesus is saying here is that he had done all that he could do, that he had walked the way of the cross, and this was the end. That what he was saying was, it's all over now. And as he breathes his last, gives up his spirit, because for him, it's all done. Finished. And for these folks, it is a human life. The human life of Jesus being given back to the Father from whom it was received. And I suppose that's a sentimental take on the event. I wouldn't be surprised if one could examine dialogue from any number of executions through history, and that any number of them would contain similar statements about the end. It's all over. I'm out of here. It is finished. Jesus' human life was about to end. But what is finished here is not just a human life. The expression in the original Greek here, linguists tell us, is in the perfect tense. Now, that may mean very little to you, and maybe it means even less to me, because I've never been a language guy. I have a difficult enough time to manage my way through the English language, let alone try to get very deeply into any others. But the Greek word here is tetelestia. Tetelestia, and it's used as a perfect tense phrase. That's a little detail, but it's an enormously important one in this case. Because the way finished is used here is in the sense of completion, fulfillment. It's clear that the statement being made is not about an event. That it's somehow a one-time ending of a life. Rather, it is finished, it's all done, means completed, finished, fulfilled, done. Forever. And what's all done? The purpose of this sinless human life, with arms now stretched wide upon the cross of his execution. What is done, what is finished, is atonement. At-one-ment. God at one with humanity. And I suppose we might say that atonement is the what of the matter. Atonement is that sinful human nature in Jesus can be at one with God. Atonement is reference to a state of being, not an event. Through the centuries, there have been many proposed theories of atonement. That is, descriptions of how the atonement was carried out and how it came to be. For the Jewish faith, it was the high priest who on one day each year, the Day of Atonement, entered the Holy of Holies and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat, paying the price for human sin. Sacrificial blood appeased God's anger and disgust at the sin of humanity. Now, this is where it begins to get uncomfortable for us, isn't it? Because many people get this part wrong. For a lot of folks, it's impossible to imagine a God who would be disgusted and angry. The God they worship, they say, is a God of mercy, grace, and love. And sure, that is God. But you know, like Paul, as a priest, I've also had opportunity, privilege, really, to sit with people who are suffering. To sit with people who have encountered the untimely loss of a parent, or sit at a sick friend's bedside. And I remember one encounter and one time that I spent some time with a fellow. He had just lost his 3-year-old son. And as tears streamed down his face, he said, "How can this be? How can God do this to me? How can God have done this to little Jamie?" Well, there's a turn in the road that we have to make, and that turn is this. We have to come to realize that God is God and we are not. And for that reason, there is much within us that needs to change. And if we're not able to give that over, if we're not able to surrender to God, to pass God the controls, realizing that we are not God. Think of it this way. What happens when the sinfulness of human nature, or evil for that matter, the rejection, the disobedience, what happens when all of that comes into the presence of pure righteousness? Perfect justice. What happens when righteousness and justice encounters imperfection? Because justice is not an option. So there's a debt, there's a price to human sin, and it's real. And that debt must be reckoned. If the God we worship is the God we believe him to be, if that is the God of pure righteousness and of perfect justice, the debt needs to be satisfied. God is not able to be in the presence of anything less than perfection. and appeasement is non-negotiable. So here's what we sometimes get wrong. What happened on the cross was not God pretending that what is wrong is all right. Because it's not. On the cross, God in Jesus is not overlooking the seriousness of human waywardness or disobedient nature. And if you're wondering what that looks like, you haven't looked in the mirror lately. The death of the only human in history who was perfection provides propitiation, as we're reminded in the comfortable words in the Book of Common Prayer from the first letter of John. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sin. God does not just overlook our sin. God has sent his Son to pay for our sin. So Jesus steps in. Jesus is our advocate. Bears the cost in our stead and pays the debt we could never hope to pay. And that price is paid once and for all. It is finished. It's all done. It never needs to be repeated. Atonement is accomplished and satisfies forever the debt between humanity and God. Our bill has been paid in full. So, you know, English words can be used in all sorts of ways, and the sixth word is really no different. And so we might wipe our lips at the end of dinner and say, all done. It is finished. But it's not really over. Because we'll be back at the table the next day, and we'll be finished again. However, what Jesus finished on the cross need not and cannot be repeated. It is finished. It's all done. And thanks be to God that it is.
Christ Church Cathedral is located at the corner of Church and Brunswick Streets in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We're always pleased to welcome visitors and guests. For information on programs and worship times, visit ChristChurchCathedral.com. Send us a message by email at office@ChristChurchCathedral.com or contact the church office by phone Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 noon, at 506-450-8500. We'd be pleased to have you visit.